Before we continue in our service, let's go to God in prayer. Father God Almighty, we are here today because we believe in the invisible. We believe in the intangible, God. We believe in something, God, Lord, that we won't fully comprehend or know about for several years, God. Help us, God, Lord, as we look at these scriptures today, God, Lord, for this to really impact us, God. As we talk about faith, as we talk about our response to your message, as we talk about our hearts, as we talk about deeds, God, I really pray, Lord, you can help your word come true in our lives, God. God, I pray, Lord, as I look at these scriptures, it's very challenging, God, to all of us, God, that you can help this to change our lives, God. Help us even, Lord, as we come to church today to read the Bible, to believe that times like this can make a difference in our life and in the lives of others. God, help the words that we hear today not fall to the ground. I pray for your spirit to work, God. I pray for your spirit to guide me in the words that I say. I pray, Lord, for you to speak. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
The facts about faith. We're going to be looking at a few things from the book of James. You know, we're going to be looking about faith to serve, faith to obey, and faith in God's future. You know, in James chapter 2, verse 14, it reads, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well-fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Faith and deeds. You know, faith is what it's all about. We do what we do because of what we really believe. You know, we're looking at here a passage of Scripture which has caused problems for a lot of people. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 reads, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." You know, fundamentally, God saves us by our faith. We need faith to be saved. What we look at here, though, is what is faith? What is real faith? James says, very straightforward, real faith has real deeds. You know, I'm an engineer. You know, I like to describe things in engineering, mathematical principles. So I've come up with a little formula, which I hope you'll agree with, based on these scriptures. No deeds, according to this, equals what? No faith. No deeds equals no faith. What does no faith equal? No saved. So we have no deeds equals no faith equals no saved. That's what the scripture is saying. And this is a hard teaching. And we want to talk about our response to this message.
One response should be, deeds is the answer. Well, no deeds, no faith, no safe. Deeds is the answer. That's what we need. I want to throw something into you. Is deeds the solution to this problem? You know, you can have deeds and no faith. You can do the right things. You know, Jesus talks about this, Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, do not like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. These guys have ticked the deeds box in prayer. Again, you know, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed in Luke 18:11. God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. I have the deeds. Therefore, I must have the faith. I must be saved. That's not the message of this. And we can definitely talk about this a bit more. What this is talking about is real faith. You know, as we wrestle with these scriptures, you know, again, one of my favorite scriptures on this matter is in Galatians 5:6. You know, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, I love my wife. We celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary this week. Oh yeah, Sunday's the first of the week? That's right. Last week. And if I love my wife, does that mean I go wake up in the morning and say, darling, I love you? Would she be satisfied with a verbal expression of love? What do you think, women? No! She wanted a little bit more of deeds. And so, you know, we went out for a really nice meal on Thursday night, and it was a special occasion. You know, we went up to Ezra Road, North London, and had a nice meal. You know, real love has real deeds. If you love your wife, you will help around the house. You will do the things that your wife wants you to do, and vice versa, whatever that might be. Love, faith, deeds, they're all related. You know, again, we could talk about this a bit more. John the Baptist, and think about it, there's the Old Testament way of looking at these things may have been more deeds-focused. And I mean, let's throw this one in here. You know, when John the Baptist came into town, you know, he's the last of the Old Testament prophets. You know, he's very much, this is what you should do in Luke 3. Anyone who has two shirts should serve the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors who came to be baptized, teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to do, he told them. So the soldiers asked him, and what should we do? Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. You know, it's great. Old Testament prophet, very specific, this is what you should do. You know, the vibe you get, not to say that this is not what he said in the New Testament, but the vibe you get from Jesus is much more heartfelt. You know, you look at Mark 7:20. What he's talking about what comes out of a man is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sex, immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Mark 7:20-23. You know, it's what's in our heart that Jesus is focusing on. You get the heart right, the deeds follow. Question I want to ask you today. When you look at your life, how are your deeds? Because that will affect, that's a good metric of where your heart is at. You think, so what am I actually doing with my faith? How is my life actually different to someone who has no faith? If it's not different, I'm not to say there are people who don't believe in God who do good things, but if it's not different, if your language is the same as someone who has no faith, if the way you spend your time is the same as someone who has no faith, if your convictions on right and wrong and sin when you're on your own is the same as someone who has no faith, the question is, what is your faith? You know, we think about what are the things that you believe in this world? I remember as a child, my daughter's here, she's not feeling very well, she's joining us today, but I think she knows who the real Santa is. So, but what did you believe in when you were younger? Maybe you believed that if I put the money in the bank, it would be as safe as houses. Maybe that's what your faith was. That may have been a bit shaken over the last few years. What do you really believe? If I work hard, I will be rewarded. What do you believe? If I work in relationships, I'll have good relationships. Is that what you believe? If I have a relationship problem with someone, it can be overcome. What do you believe? There is a God. If I do what is right, I'll go to heaven. If I sin in secret, it will come out. Do you believe that? Is that the way you live your life? You know, we've got to ask ourselves, what do I really believe? Jesus is the only way or not? Do I really believe a few thousand years ago a man died on the cross and because of that event, if you believe in him and only him, you'll go to heaven, and if you don't, you won't. What do I really believe? Because it affects your actions. You know, Jesus also talks about you can change your heart in numbers of ways, which we can talk about. You know, in Matthew 6:21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What you do can affect your belief system. You do things which are right, your heart will follow it. You do things which are wrong, your heart will follow it as well. We're going to talk about, you know, the faith to obey. We're going to talk about how sin takes away our faith. And how openness gives us faith. A faith to serve. Let's pick up our first point. The faith to serve. You know, it says there, in verse 16, if one of you says, you know, suppose a brother or sister has clothes and daily food, if someone says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? You know, the first example that James picks up is a very practical example. You meet someone, and they are in need. What do you do about it? You say, man, you're... I love the Message translation on this one. Let me just read the Message translation. It says, for instance, you come upon an old friend. dressed in rags and half starved, and say, "Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. What does that get you? It's obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense. You know, when it really boils down to it, and I just had a little discussion about this, serving the people around you is faith. It's belief, a number of things it touches. It touches that I will be okay when I sacrifice. You know, if I give a little bit of my time and money, God will see it. You know, everything will work out. I know we talk about it. I mean, the issue of, you know, tithing and Old Testament, but at the end of the day, you give to God, God will look after you. And at the end of the day, God's in control. And we've been talking about, as a family, that the kids, we get some income as children, that they need to give a bit back to God. You know, it's good practice to start doing that as children now, because, you know, it's kind of an expectation in life. You know, even the world knows this. I mean, even your hardened atheist, when they have a lot of money, there's a sense of, man, I've got to give to those who are not needy. How much more so the people of God? So, you know, we've been talking about our kids, you know, give a bit of money, and I was so inspiring. You know, just now, without asking her, as the basket was come along, and I said, "Oh, wow, wait, let me find my purse." You know, rustling in, and she found out her purse, and I won't embarrass her, but she'll forgive me later. I saw her, that the £1 and the 5p. Anyway, I won't share the details of what she did. But then later on, and then started, then she went, but she went back, actually. And then she saw Jasmine once, and then she got back and pulled some more money out of her. And I was like, man, that inspired me. That was pure. That's faith indeed. Why am I doing this? Am I going to get anything in return? It's the right thing to do. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, it's believing the impact that you can make. Now, we're talking about the faith to serve. Now, something that we want to ask ourselves, what do you believe you can do in your life? Now, you see a guy who's begging on the street. Do you believe, if you spend a little time with them, that they will be encouraged? Now, sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes, if I spend the time with him, he's just going to be a waste of my time and his. If I give him some money, he's just going to get even more drunk. I'm too busy. He's not worth my time. I'm too busy to maybe give him a cup of tea or something. You know, these are real things that go through our hearts when someone's up begging. Do you believe you can make an impact in someone's life by showing them love? Let's bring it further to home. In your household, do you believe you can impact people you live with? If you have a child, do you believe if you spend time with them and encourage them every day, that they will be a better person? They will be encouraged. They will have more confidence. Then are you doing it? Do you believe, and it was great to hear, Mike Fonson shared this, that every night he would pray with his daughters, "I pray you become a Christian, and I pray you marry a strong Christian." Every night. Do you believe that doing that every night, praying with one of your household members every night, will help them and help you? Are you doing it? Do you believe that if you looked back in your life and you made such decisions, that you would be encouraged you made them or discouraged you made them? Think And we'll talk about this, about, you know, faith in God's future. You've got to think about what you're going to believe looking back at your life. We discussed this a bit more in our family group. Do you believe you can make an impact in your street? Okay. I believe I can make an impact in my family. I can see if I spent one-on-one time with people, helping them with homework or encouraging them, that there would be a tangible impact in our lives. But my street, that may make a little, that's a bit more of a stretch. You know, what kind of deeds would that require? You know, Jesus says, greet people who are your neighbors. Greet people who, even showing love, will that make a difference? Will showing love in our world make a difference? And I'm even talking as basic as smiling at someone on the tube. No, brother, that's so challenging. I was on the train the other day, and I was on the train, and this guy came on, and he was from, I don't know, Cornwall or somewhere. And he got on and he said, no one's talking to anyone. No one's talking to me. And I'm standing like a couple of feet away from him. I thought, well, I better talk to him. And then we started talking. He was saying, man, this place, it's so cold. I mean, I know everyone in my little village. I come here, and he was actually passing through to go on a date, actually. But he was just passing through and he says, no one is talking to anyone. And as much as I say, yeah, these Londoners, man, they're terrible. Even in my company, I get into the lift in my company. This is in my company. And I can be like, oh, man, no eye contact. Oh, flat out, man. These are people who are my work colleagues. Sometimes we get beyond the critical mass of people and suddenly we shut down. We have a limit. There's 30 people or so that we can talk to face to face. Beyond that, I'm going to ignore you. What are we like? And actually, the face that you say smile or strike a conversation takes faith. What happens if they don't smile back? I'll look a fool. I'll smile. They won't smile back and they'll think I'm a wally. Maybe they'll think I'm trying to mug them. You know, we can be like that. You know, it was so great. You know, we were traveling up to marriage talk yesterday. Myself and my wife, obviously, and the Stevens. And we're going up, and there was God just worked it out for some natural conversations. First time, I was like, man, this is great. You know, this is normal. This is what we should be doing as human being to human being. We can make a difference. We spoke to this guy, and this fellow sitting opposite us, he had an Arsenal scarf on him. And we commiserated because I heard that Arsenal drew. I only knew that because someone came up to me and said, do you like football? Anyway, he's running the marathon today. We had a great chat, and you know, we talked, and you know, he's run several marathons. His son has run a marathon with him. We can make an impact in people's lives by taking a genuine interest in them. You know, it's basic. Showing love to your neighbor can change the world. Do you believe it? Or do you think, it's too hard. I'm just going to focus on myself. And you're not going to be happy. The world's not going to be changed. And you're going to regret it in years gone by. And one of my biggest regrets is sometimes you're working with people and you think, oh, these are great people. I'll find the right moment to share my faith with them. To have that deep talks about their life. And you procrastinate, and you procrastinate, and then they come up to you and say, right, today's my last day. I've just resigned. It's too late. You know, we have got to make the most of opportunities. Yes, there's a time and place. But if you believe that God has put you in your situation for a particular time and a particular reason, and that you can show love to them, and your love can change not only their lives, but the lives of their children, their relatives, their whole community that they interact with, we can change the world. Amen? Do you believe it? No, we've got to have the faith to serve. And it is a heart of service. It isn't a heart of what I can get out of it. It's a heart of how can I give to those around me? Wow, there's so many things I could say on this. I mean, it's interesting when you've been around for a while. A lot of the time you may have had a track record of serving, but then you think, okay, it's time for someone else to serve. And I'll just oversee them serving. That's not what God is calling you. I remember feeling that specifically. When I was my second year of college, I helped someone become a Christian, and I thought, I need to help them. I said to him, "It's not my. This year isn't for me to focus on sharing my faith. This is for me to focus on helping you share your faith." That didn't inspire or encourage anyone. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. And in my workplace, I've had a management reorg, and those people at the top who kind of used to that kind of let's just delegate, we're not doing any of the work. Suddenly things have switched around, and now they're being imposed to become the people who do work, and those who are good at doing the work are managing them. You know, God has a way, and life has a way of sorting out our hearts. Service is something that we've got to do for the rest of our life. And the older we get, the more we have to serve. Amen? You know, secondly, faith to obey. You know, the second example James talks about is that of Abraham. And, there we go. In verse 20, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. That's the scripture people have problems with. A good person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Now here we have Abraham, the father of the faith, before the law of Moses. The classic person. And here we have possibly one of the most challenging requests of God anywhere, bar what he did to himself. His son Isaac, the fulfillment of the promise. You know, he gave birth to him at 100 years old. I mean, you're talking, this guy's been waiting a while for this promise to be received. His dream. And then God says to him, "You need to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. You need to kill the promise." It doesn't make any sense. You look at this now, this can't be true. This can't be from God. It goes against his nature. It goes against the promise. It goes against everything I can understand. And yet, Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his dream because God told him. You know, faith to obey. If there was any way, if there was any point that you may feel like, I'm going to doubt this command, this would have been it. You know, you look at, I love the description in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And in so a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death." You know, here we have Abraham given this challenge, and he thought, he reasoned, he prayed, he believed God can do the impossible. Now, what about you? What are you struggling to obey? You know, God has been very specific about things which we need to do, things which are sin, and things which he's called us to do. You know, one of the interesting things about the marriage yesterday, Mike Fonsignor, I love the way he preaches. And he spoke about an image of marriage which I'd not really fully grasped before. You know, in marriage, you've got a husband and a wife who are created by God to love each other. You know, there's images in the Bible of Christ and the bridegroom beautifully dressed. It's an image of God. In fact, when a husband and a wife are in a loving relationship with each other, it is God. It is an image of God. It shows love in all its glory. And when Satan sees that, as he's been cast from heaven, it makes him furious to see a loving couple fulfilling God's plan for their lives. It makes him furious. And so he's doing everything in his power to destroy the marital relationship. Marriage can be something which can bring incredible glory and honor to God, or it can be one of the most discouraging things out. And that's because Satan is aggressively against it. And we see the way he tries it. He tries it by lust. The thing that hits marriage is, let's do it by making sexuality something which is easy to get, something which is attractive. It will absolutely destroy marriages. It has the power. It's really challenging. He's trying that. Let's try relationships and pride. You know, let me get that to destroy the relationship. He's trying that. Let me bring in total corrupt view of marriage. Homosexuality, let me bring that in. Let me even change the laws of the land to redefine what marriage is in people's minds. You know, he's doing everything he can to take away the image of a husband and a wife being together. And if, you know, as a married couple, if you're a married couple, doing it well, you can be an incredible advertisement for the kingdom, for God. But it's hard. You've got to persevere through all these challenges. Because Satan is on the case. And he wants us to disobey. And we have got to have faith to obey, and doubts come into our minds. You know, how are we going to protect ourselves from these challenges? I believe Hebrews chapter 3 gives us the answer. In Hebrews 3:12, you know, it talks about, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, what's attacking our faith is sin, and it's sin's deceitfulness. It's saying, don't obey. Do it this way. And it lies to us and says, you're going to be happier if you obey the flesh rather than if you obey God. You're having a master either way. Either you're following the master of the person who made you, a spirit, or you're following the master of the flesh who has another agenda. You know, it takes faith to obey. You know, Abraham, I appreciate what he did. He got up in the morning and he did what he needed to do. For me, when I look at these challenges about where my deeds are and where is my faith and ask questioning myself on these issues, the thing I've been focusing on, how can I get my faith to where it needs to be? And I was feeling discouraged a few weeks ago. And I was just feeling really down. A lot of things going on in life, I was just feeling down. And I thought, man, I need to get time. I haven't had time enough with my brother, Tokes. I haven't had a time where I can sit down with him and just go through a catalogue of anything which is on my heart and be open, vulnerable, and transparent about my life. And it was really good. You know, Tokes came over to my workplace on Thursday and snuck into a room. He had his vanilla chai tea, which is his favourite. And it was great for me just to be open with my brother about my life, about things which I've been wrestling with, to confess sin, to get it out in my open, and to proclaim, I'm a guy who I need help with. And it was, you know, when you get these moments where you're about to confess sin and you think this isn't good, and you have started, this is uncomfortable, but I need to finish this. And the sense of relief when you share your heart is like, man, that wasn't that bad. Man, this is good. I should do this more. Are you having those times with people? I've talked about different things to people in the past, but I know if I talk to Tokes, you'll really hold me accountable. Are you having conversations with people who really hold you accountable, who you know have deep convictions about the things you're going to talk about? Do it. Do it now. You know, you can't clear your heart out until you get the sin out. You don't have faith if you have something on your heart which is offending your conscience. Because as soon as you go to pray, God, I want to do my best for you. He says, yeah, but you're a jerk and a sinner, and you know it. And the fact that you're not telling people around you means that you don't really believe that I see it. You've got to have faith to obey. The more you obey, the more you're open with who you are, the more of a human being you become. You become a transparent person where what you are inside is what you are outside. That is the goal. We want to be people of integrity. You've got to have the faith to obey. And lastly, you've got to have the faith in God's future. You know, it's really interesting. You look at the last example that's given, Rahab the prostitute. So you've got Rahab the prostitute. A prostitute isn't exactly the career that most righteous people aspire to. And she's living in a city which isn't exactly on one of the cities that God wants to bless. This is a no-win-out situation. And the spies go to Jericho. And they're going and they hang out with Rahab. And the king hears about it. And he sends a delegation to go and get the spies. Because clearly, you know, these Israelites are not people you really want to be encouraging at this time. And you pick it up in Joshua chapter 2. And what she sees, that she sends off the king's delegation saying, oh, they've gone this way. And basically she protects the spies. And you read it, pick it up in verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went upon the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when it came out of Egypt, and what you did in Shalon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. You know, here we have a woman who saved her family by her faith in God. She believed that God was going to win. And she believed that she could change her situation. Hilariously, all the people in Jericho, they're trembling in fear. They're discouraged. They don't know what to do. But they don't have the faith to make a difference. They don't have a faith to change. Now, if you sit down and think about it, something which is undeniable, every single individual on this planet is going to die, and they know it. This isn't new. This isn't a big surprise. It is a fact. Everyone is going to die. Sooner or later. But we know there is a God. And we can see what he's done in the past. We can see that he rose someone from the dead. We can see the miracles described. And this is what this woman has done. She looked around and thought, wow, this God parted the Red Sea. This God destroyed the Egyptians. This God gave these people victory. And she reasoned like Abraham reasoned and thought, wow, that means it would be better for me to be on the side of this God than to be where I am right now and hanging out with my worldly mates. Do we do the same reasoning? It requires faith in the scriptures. It requires studying out what God has done before. You know, we talk about getting faith. Romans 10. Faith comes from hearing the message. How are you doing in the Bible study? If your deeds aren't there, is your faith there? If your faith's not there, what are you doing to get faith? This woman got faith by studying the facts, reasoning the scriptures, and then making a decision to save her family. That is the call that we've got to do. It's incredible. She then figured it out. It was a risk. They could have said, no, sorry, but God has commanded that we kill you too. It's a risk. But she took the risk. God blessed her, and she becomes in the line of Jesus. It's incredible. And she's just incredible. What about you? Are you in a situation where you feel, I've sinned too much. I've blown it. My ancestry is bad. God will never... Rahab the prostitute, you're not going to be worse than her. Reason that God's future for you is better than your own future for you. And make the right decisions. You know, I was really encouraged a couple of weekends ago. We had a family holiday in the Lake District. And I've not taken my family to the Lake District before. I've been there as a kid. And I went there and I thought, wow, there's this place on our doorstep which, honestly, is England. This is what England is. You go there, you know what I'm talking about. It's got a lake, it's got hills, it's like, ugh, green and pleasant land. Jerusalem was written about such a place as this. I strongly recommend go. I mean, go. You haven't been to England until you've been to the Lake District. I mean it. And I went there and I climbed up a hill and I thought, this is literally awesome. You stand on the hill and you think, wow, God created this. And what God creates is good. When God says, oh, I'm gonna design a hill. You know? He's gonna architect it in a phenomenal way. What God does is awesome. When God says, I'm gonna it's not good for man to be alone. I'm gonna figure it out. And he creates marriage and when we do it God's way, it's awesome. I know what's best for this person. I know. I'll send commands which are not there to make the person feel bad, but to give them life. And we embrace the call of God. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And when we doubt God and start doing things the other way, it's never as awesome. You know, we've got to embrace God's future for our lives. You know, God has a great plan for us. Let's have the faith to believe that God knows best for us. Amen? You know, we talk about the facts about faith. And we've got to have the faith to serve. The brother and sister who needs food around us, the needs around us, we've got to open our eyes to the needs and understand that we can make an impact on those around us. Let's have the faith to serve. Now, secondly, we looked at the faith to obey. Now, Abraham, he was faced with some challenges. It would have been much more convenient for him to ignore what he read or what he heard. And say, man, this is too challenging. I'm not going to sacrifice my son. He would never have become the father of faith. You know, when you see the command, you think, man, I wish I hadn't seen that. I wish God hadn't revealed that to me. But he did. And it's for your blessing. Have the faith to obey. Be transparent. Be open. I guarantee sin is deceiving you if there's anything saying that your life is not going to be as good. Have the faith to obey. And lastly, have the faith in God's future. No, Rahab did. She embraced her calling. She embraced a vision of her life that meant her family could be saved. And she got more, get this, she got more than she could have ever dreamed about, being one of the ancestry of Christ. You embrace God's future, incredible things will happen. More than you can possibly imagine. Thanks so much for your time. Amen. Amen.